Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. I believe the combined friendship years of those on the program today are approaching 100. Dr. John Townsend, Dr.
Probably so.
Jill Hubbard, myself.
Wow, we're that old, you guys?
We are aggregate.
Yeah, but we really are that old, and there's just kind of no way to get around it. But we're glad that you're here today. It's always a good day when I'm doing radio with John and Jill, and I'm glad you're with us, and maybe something that we would say would be pretty powerful, something that you would love. Now, last time John was on, I forgot to play a little program of his that he did on TV.NewLife.com. It was entitled Enable or Empower. And I want to play that right now. John did this on TV.NewLife.com. Give it a listen.
It basically comes down to the confusion about what is love? I mean, is love making somebody feel good all the time? Is love making sure nobody ever struggles? Is love making sure somebody feels fulfilled all the time? But if you look in the Bible, that's not what love is. That is what enabling is.
Yeah.
And so I think what people get in their heads is this empowering, which I think is a form of love, or versus enabling, which is a form of rescue, I think all of a sudden your decisions are much easier. I have kind of a four-point little piece to help people make those decisions. So let's suppose somebody wants money from you, or they want you to be on 18 committees, or they need more of your time than you have, or they want you to have 14 lunches with them, or they want you to bail them out somehow, or they want you to make excuses for them. All those things that we get put upon by others, and you think, gosh, I'm a Christian, I want to care. When do I say yes and when do I say no?
Okay.
The first one is, well, is this something they could do for themselves?
All right, so that's what love's all about. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest movie lies is that title, Love is Never Having to Say You're Sorry.
I found
that's what love is a lot in my life. So anyway, that's one of the great programs that John has done. On TV.NewLife.com, you can go there, get some free time. But we're excited that John's here, and I want to jump right into the phone calls because we've got a lot of people lined up already. Let's go to Margie from Seattle, Washington, listening on the Internet. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a really tough problem, and it has to do with my my second husband, who's a stepfather, has been the stepfather of my three children. I was married to him. I have been married to him for 6 years, and he's been a father figure to my children, because I was married to an extremely abusive man and got out of that relationship after he went to jail. And the kids had a lot of trust bust with their first father, being very unsafe, never had relationship with him once he left our home. My youngest was one, my middle daughter was three, and my oldest was six. And it's my three-year-old, who's now 23, who was assaulted by her stepfather on this last week. And she's since moved out. She's thankfully starting a new job. She's had to overcome a lot in her life. She was raped 2 years ago and has been in counseling for that. She recently graduated from college with straight A's. She worked very hard. But she's
hold on just a second. I got to go to a break. Really, really disturbed to hear at this age she was assaulted by her stepfather, and I want to hear why and what were the circumstances there before we go any further into this. You're listening to New Life Live, and if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. We'll take this break. We'll come right back with Dr. Jill Hubbard, author of Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, Dr. John Townsend, The Entitlement Cure. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we're back talking to Margie. What happened where she was at 23, she's assaulted by her stepfather. What's that all about?
They were in a disagreement, and she had been out and was very tired, and she wasn't the most respectful towards me, and so she wasn't taking ownership for being disrespectful of me, and so her stepdad jumped in and started telling her in no uncertain terms that she was rude and she was selfish and she was immature and somebody ought to set her straight. And my daughter said, you know, who are you? And so it became a screaming and shouting match, and she kept saying to him, I'm tired. And he would not. I was in the room. I witnessed the whole thing, and I said to him, I said, you need to stop it right now. A gentle answer turns away wrath. They had gotten into this kind of heated.
He hit her.
Conversation so. Before. What? No, no. Here's the story. So then she set down a canister very hard on the counter to make a point to stop screaming. She didn't want to take it anymore. And the canister shattered, and then he lunged at her with mean in his eyes, like, how dare you? Then he grabbed her, held her tight. He kept saying, stop it, stop it, I can't breathe, let me go. And he tells the story that he shoved her, and he was constraining her to keep her from stepping on the glass, but I didn't see it that way. I kept saying, stop it. I saw mean and rage in his eyes. Okay. I did not see protective father.
So what is the question for us then?
The question I have is, how do I rebuild trust when I don't feel he's taking full ownership of what he did? I feel like he's given a neck-up apology. I feel like he's more proud of his apology. He wrote a long letter to her than he is really sorrowing over what he did and the fact that the relationship from her standpoint right now is completely new. She wants nothing to deal with him. She's saying, I'm married to another abuser. Mom, I fear for your safety. You're next.
Okay. All right, guys. What do you think? I mean, what do you think is the first step for her? This is really tough because you are married to somebody that is not able to disengage, who is somebody that kind of makes matters worse and better. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, and I'm just wondering, though, it sounds like, I mean, has anything like this ever happened before? Is this...
Not with him assaulting her, but she and him have gotten into a screaming match about 2 years ago, and where he told her to shut up.
Okay, so they really push each other's buttons, don't they?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And so...
She's been gone at school, and she was coming back just to prepare to move out to start a new job, and so there wasn't a lot of time here that she had, and he had been respectful of her. He'd been a father figure to her. He understand her vulnerabilities with her being in counseling for her assault 2 years ago, you know, and she's not, you know, She's got a lot of anger towards God for things that happened. So, you know, he claims to be a Christian. So she it just hard.
And he wrote her a letter. Is that right? He wrote her a letter of apology?
He wrote her a letter, an apology. And honestly, I couldn't even read it. I was so mad because it felt all neck up. I felt like he was proud of his apology more than he was sorrowing over what he did to shatter the relationship and break her trust.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, so the question is specifically for
how
us.
How do I heal and rebuild trust when I don't feel like he's fully owning what he's done and sorrowing over it, and it's all neck up?
Yeah, I think trust, but rebuilding trust is something that might not be the core issue here. I think you guys are really disconnected as a couple.
I think there needs to be further discussion. I think to go to him and say, you know, I know that you've apologized and we've been through this, but I'm having a hard time shaking this, and I'm not feeling like I can move on from this. Do you mind if we kind of talk through it, you know, a little more and dissect it a bit? And this isn't about me blaming you or blaming her. I just really want to kind of unpack it and look at what was going on. And you know,
well,
with,
he won't do that.
Okay.
I've gone to that space.
So okay.
He really won't do it. He just basically has put a bow on it. What I've already said my apology. It's your problem that you can't accept my apology.
Margie, the Bible tells us that it's a glory to a person to overlook an offense, but it never says that it's a glory to a person to overlook a pattern. So have you seen, besides the second occurrence with your daughter, have you seen this sort of rage and denial in your husband in the last 6 years in other circumstances, other context, other people, this sort of thing?
Yes, I have.
And give us a Reader's Digest 30-second synopsis.
Well, it's been, you know, he doesn't like to take ownership of his feelings. In fact, we got into it this morning when I felt he was extremely rude and dismissive of something that was very important to me. And he disappeared and came back and acted like we weren't
All right.
even in that
That's
space.
Really helpful, because that means we don't have a daughter and stepfather
right,
problem.
Just the two of them.
Your husband has a character problem. That could involve defensiveness or control issues or rage, whatever. He's got some character issues. And so you can spend all day till the cows come home saying you've got to do a thorough, vulnerable, authentic apology to your daughter. It's not going to happen because the character problem hasn't been addressed. Let's get out of the event and get into the pattern. I think if it's going to that level, I think that, you know, these things tend to escalate and exacerbate over time, Margie, if they're not attended to. And I would be a tad concerned if he's starting to do violence in the home. So I'm just saying, here it is. It's time for the pros. It's time to bring the pros in. You do not solve this by more conversations and let's have a cup of coffee. You got to bring in a clinician who knows how to deal with rage issues and probably your own codependency. Say, we're going to marital counseling right now.
He will not do it.
Okay. So he doesn't do it. And so then you say, okay, we had that happen a lot on the show. And then you say, okay, well, I love you. I want us to be better. I'm really scared. So I'm going to go to a very good marital counselor who works with issues like we have. And we're going to talk about me and you and us. I'd love for you to be there while we're talking about me and you, us. But if you choose not to, I'm going to learn strategies on how to deal with this better. I'd love for you to be there. Many times the spouse will say, I've got to show up at this. And if they don't, then you just – then the marital counselor sits down and you have this talk. And if he doesn't show up, you find out about boundaries in marriage. You find out about if you're safe or not. You find out about what you can do to hold somebody accountable until they do apologize and this sort of thing. But you got to get in the room with a pro.
You know –
Okay, I received that.
All right. And let me send you some boundaries in marriage stuff here. I think that's going to help you a little bit. But, you know, I heard a guy say the other day that maybe the biggest sin of all is an unwillingness to grow.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Where you're just not going to do anything. What a horrible, horrible thing. And I can't encourage her more to not talk about the daughter anymore. Just talk about hey, we need some help. We've got to come together. And all of that's a symptom of something bigger. But just talk about you wanting help for him and with him. You miss the way it was when you guys first met.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. When Steve says the saddest thing when people choose not to grow, they're saying, I don't hunger and thirst for righteousness. And there's no real, Steve's right, there's really no worse state. You don't want to be in that.
That's right.
Well, you're really just looking at one part of the relational package, right? Because there's him and there's her and then there's the relationship.
Yeah.
And so you're saying, oh, no, I'm good over here. And you're completely ignoring the other two aspects of being married and
which means there's no solution.
Well, right. And it's saying, no, we're going to do it my way. I don't really care that you don't understand or you see it differently. And that's a sad place to be because it reduces the relationship to what one person sees and says.
Yeah.
And that's not okay.
We want better for you.
Right.
We sure do. All right, let's go to, let's have a little discussion here with Michelle, Washington, D.C., WAVA. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to New Life. How can we help?
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about how do I learn to show love and affection physically? I've never been able to do that, and I'm seeing consequences of that in my family.
Okay, when you say physically, are you talking about just kissing or patting somebody on the back, holding hands, sexual intimacy? What are you talking about?
Everything. It's with specifically with my son right now. I think he's going through a lot of things right now, and I think I'm somewhat. The reason for all his problems, I guess, because he didn't get any love from me. I mean, I could give my life for him. They know I love them, but I just physically I'm not able to show love. And then, of course, with my husband, I'm having the same issues.
Michelle, what happens when you what happens when you try? Like if I was in the room with if I was in the room with you right now, and I said, "Hey, I'd like to get a hug," and mail that I was a person you liked. What would keep you from hugging me? I want to know what the feelings and the thoughts are.
It feels awkward. It feels like I just can't. Like,
okay, it's not natural for you.
My body just rejects it. Yeah, it's not natural. Mm-hmm. And like, for example, my husband tries to show me, you know, of course, affection, love. I mean, intimately is a disaster.
All right, so here's here's the question that Steve always asks, and it's a wonderful question. He always says, where did you learn that you weren't lovable in your childhood? Mm-hmm. And Steve, it's the bullseye question. And that's our question for you. Where did you learn this? Because God didn't make us that way as babies. No. So where did you learn this?
I'm sure it has something to do with the fact that I never met my father. Apparently, the stories I was told is when he saw me as a baby and he saw that I didn't have green eyes like he did, he said, I'm not his daughter, and he didn't want nothing to do with me, so I never met him. And then my mother proceeded to leave me in our country and come to the United States when I was like 3 or 4. And I remember that day as if it was yesterday. And she left me, and she was supposed to come and work for a year and then come back for me. And she never did. She came and got married, started a family, had kids here, and never went back for me. And so all my life, her brothers and sisters just put it in my head, oh, she left you, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're not wanted.
Were you raised after that with a warm person or not a warm person?
Oh, no, not at all. I was left with my grandmother until the age of 8.
Was your grandmother warm?
No, not at all. Okay.
Nobody
that I remember.
Nobody hugged you.
No, I never saw it. I never saw it, and I never learned it, and I never saw it happening between anybody. Like my grandmother and my grandfather, they slept separate. Then they brought me to live with an aunt who was I'm very grateful for her. She raised me right, but she was very strict. She never got married. Yeah. She never had kids.
So
she was just.
Did you ever get any help for it? Have you ever gotten any help for that? Up until now.
No, that's what I'm trying to find. What do I do? Like, how do I learn it? Because my family is being affected by it. I have a adult son who's suffering because of that, and I have.
I'll give you the short answer. God created a structure where we learn the physical from the emotional and relational. So we would not send you to a learn how to hug course.
No, no.
That doesn't work. It would make you sort of so panicked and paranoid. What we need, what you need is a healing relationship where you learn emotional vulnerability. Emotional vulnerability. We can. I want you to stay on the line because we can find somebody because they're trained for this. But when you learn emotional vulnerability, mm-hmm. you learn to take in the things you never got from dad, mom, or grandmother. And then, as we learn to be emotionally vulnerable and safe, then the hugging comes second. There's a passage that says in Psalm 85:10, it says that if though my father and mother have abandoned me, thou art with me. So it's time for a second family to come in, a good therapist, a good warm mentor, and teach you emotional vulnerability, which will involve some hurt and pain and skills and grief. Mm-hmm. And the physical hugging comes after that.
That's right. Well, the good news is you're trying to get some help for it now. Mm-hmm. And so many people are so uncomfortable, they never even see that change is possible. But it is. We'll be back after this.
The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., September 8th through the 10th.
This weekend has been a chance to honestly share my feelings and to begin ownership of them, whether they're positive or negative. I learned how to stand up for myself. I experienced positive feelings that I hadn't experienced before.
Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
This weekend has been just the beginning of taking my life back. I leave with a renewed power to trust in God on a daily basis, a commitment to move forward in my recovery by continually taking my life back.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
If you really want to take your life back, then I would highly recommend it.
Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Rebecca, I want to say this, that in talking with Michelle, and I'm going to send her loving people, it's going to help. You've got to learn this from somebody else, as John and Jill said. But some of you may have heard that call, and you said, yeah, that's me. I can't be physical. Mm. Well, maybe you heard the call because God wants you to do something, too.
There you go.
Wants you to get help, too. Another type of reaction might be, yeah, I'm not a love giver at all. And maybe you just, something happened separate from the way you raised, whatever. Look, we can all get better, but you have to be willing to get better. You have to make a phone call, get help, call us. We'll try to find some help for you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Whether you're a perpetrator or a victim, whatever you would call it, let's get back to, you know, God is the creator of the universe is love. God is love. Mm. How many people don't feel it? How many people don't know how to share it? We want to help you with that. But
Steve, we need to encourage our listening family to bring people to the show because, you know, in the last however many years we've been doing this, there really is nothing new under the sun. There are answers.
Right.
The same things come up, but there's answers for this stuff from the Bible and research. So you're not like alone and having to make this up. Have people watch the show and support the show. Listen to the show.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Good point. Let's go to Rebecca. She's calling us from the Los Angeles area, listening on KKLA. Hey, Rebecca, how are you?
Hi, Steve. I wish I could be better.
Wish you could be better. Maybe you can be. All right. Let's see what happens. What's going on?
Well, actually, it's a pretty long story, but I'm going to put it all in a bubble.
Okay.
So it's pretty much my main question is, should I stay in my marriage or should I go?
Okay.
Well, a little bit of background info. I've been married to my husband for 5 years now. We dated for 1 year. He was really quick in proposing and saying he wanted to marry me, you know, typical falling in love and everything normal.
Right.
And the only thing that came differently to me or that seemed different to me that I wasn't very used to was that I came from a Christian household. He did too. However, what I did notice was that he came from a very strict and controlling religious environment. He just wasn't allowed to have friends. He wasn't allowed to have any people over. His parents pretty much made his schedule that he could only attend places where it was, say, for example, like youth groups or, well, anyway. He met me, and everything went great. Like I said, he proposed, and everything was amazing, except I almost felt deep inside as if he was maybe trying to find a way out. Like saying, you know, maybe mm-hmm. if I was able to start my own family and make my
yeah.
own goals, then
sure.
things would change for me.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Again, one of the things that attracted me was the fact that he was a really good Christian man. He was, I want to say, 21 at the time, and I was just, I thought, this is what God wants for me. This is perfect, except I was in school at the time. And he was just like, you know what, you don't need to finish school. I will take care of you. He kind of had that that caretaker way. In
mm-hmm.
him.
Okay, so now let me get this right.
Okay.
He's controlling. He has limitations, okay. and does he like threaten you or in his controlling?
Well, that's the thing, that now we have 2 children under the age of 4. A lot
okay.
has happened in these 5 years of marriage.
Uh-huh.
But also what I noticed came into play was his controlling with the finances, anything
mm-hmm.
within the home.
Okay.
Okay, there
so...
There was actually a family history of maybe like OCD in his family that they
okay.
don't believe in therapy.
All right, well, ask us a question specifically so that we get to the heart of what you're really wanting us to help you with.
Yes. Well, there have been issues in the past of he was physical towards me once where he slapped me in the
mm-hmm.
face.
Okay.
There was multiple suicide threats coming from his end when I actually threatened to leave if he didn't seek therapy or if we didn't go to couple therapy or if something didn't change.
Mm-hmm.
Because I started to notice that things were starting to escalate in front of the children. He took my phone right. away once.
Okay, so what's the question for us then? And then we're going to try to answer it for you. What is it?
Okay, so pretty much again, back to the question is, should I stay and try to, I don't know, maybe figure out a way to, like, wake him up and say, hello, we need help, like,
mm-hmm.
or maybe you need help, and I've been praying for you for years to see if maybe something changes, if
all right.
changes, the marriage
well,
changes, or...
Okay, I hear you. Now,
yeah.
let me tell you this. We're not going to answer that question. We're not going to answer whether you should stay or go. We're going to answer, after going through all of this and nothing working and not really doing anything that would create a redemptive relationship between the two of us, what is the best course for me? So we're going to, after the break, we're going to tell you, here's the most helpful thing. Here's the thing that most likely could move him toward being a whole and healthy spouse where you could enjoy that marriage. That's what we're going to go for versus should I quit or not? You don't ever want to quit until you know everything possible has been done for this man. You've got a very angry man on your hand, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And controlling. He's bitter. So I got a question for you that I'll ask you right after this. Then we'll hear from John Townsend, Dr. Jill Hubbard. You're listening to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. If you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you. It could mean everything to your life.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.newlife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Talking to Rebecca. Hey, Rebecca, got a question for you. It's going to sound like it's off the wall. Then I'm going to turn it over to Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Jill Hubbard, who are not off the wall. Okay, so here's the question. You ready?
Go ahead.
So what's his situation? And what's your awareness of his use of pornography?
Well, okay. Pornography has been, I'm assuming, something that he actually accepts as okay.
Why do you assume that he accepts it okay? And aren't you kind of curious why I would ask that question? But anyway, why do you assume he thinks it's okay?
Well, he has actually told me himself that he thinks that it's okay for him to use it as a healthy outlet. However, I am, you know, obviously thinking the opposite.
Well, guess what pornography is all about? It's about objectifying women. And if you've got an object, you try to control the object. You try to manipulate the object. Whereas if you have a person, you try to relate to it. And so,
there was actually something that I hadn't mentioned that might be of relevance to what you're saying.
What's that?
Is that he actually works a lot outside of the home. He's constantly traveling, and he actually also confessed to me that on one of his trips, he actually slept with a prostitute.
That might have a little bit to do with it.
Oh,
yeah. See, so here's what you have.
That adds to the picture.
You have a very angry man. I've never met an angry man who didn't have a problem with pornography, lust, prostitution, all of that. Because the anger is something that just doesn't continue to come up when you're in relationship with a person. So all I'm going to say to you, if you don't leave, but you need to get help for him, you need to call, or we need to talk to you about every man's battle. And you need to tell him you have to go to this. You have this problem. It ended up with you betraying me with a prostitute, with with pornography over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to encourage you to go to our Restore for you. But until he deals with that, see, you're always going to be an object. You're always going to be less than, and you're not going to be in a healthy relationship.
Well, and I think he's acting out feeling small and controlled growing up. It's like he's never been able to get outside of the box. And
that rigid box.
Right, and to be his own person. And so he's, you know, his world has become really small. And in the anger there, then he's acting out. And yeah, this isn't a real relationship that you're having with him. And I would want to know, how do all of these things that he's deemed okay fit in with what it means to be a Christian and what God says?
Exactly, yeah.
Right?
I actually asked myself that same question.
And it's not an option to not get help. We can't be our own gods.
Right.
And plus, Rebecca, really quick, there's two motivations that God uses in us. One is that I want to be healthy. The desire, the hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's a desire. And the other is pain, unfortunately. Some people that say, I don't care about being healthy and righteous, then God says pain. And you may have to tell him, if you don't go to Restore, I'll have to get a structured separate. I'm sorry?
Restore's for her.
Oh, okay, if you don't go to EMB. Something like, well, I may have to talk to a counselor about a structured situation where if that, you know, me and the kids are going to, we're going to leave me here, and I'm going to ask you to leave for a while. I'm not divorcing you, but I'm going to ask you not to be around us until you become a safe person. Structured separations are very, very powerful when someone's in deep denial. So, something
and,
to think about.
And if he threatens suicide, you know, I would, in a sense, throw that back at him, that you will not be controlled by that manipulation, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's a manipulation.
Something to think about, Rebecca.
It sure is. I'm glad you called. I hope that's helpful to you. But so often, and when you hear these things, the mistreatment like this, you just think, wow, he has no idea what a real woman is or a relationship with one is. And look at that. Slept with a prostitute, betrayed her, and he's still in control. All right, let's take another call here real quick. And I want to talk with Darren. I think Darren's calling from St. Louis, Missouri, listening to, well, he listens on the internet. Darren, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, great, thanks.
Good. How can we help?
Okay. Yes, guys, thanks for my call. I have a problem that maybe 90% of the men out there would long for. And it's the opposite, especially if they have a lot of conflict, strong-willed woman. I'm married to an Asian woman, less than 2 years.
Okay.
And she's so nice, so forgiving, so compliant that I am absolutely bored. I have no intellectual connection with her. I long for a meaningful kind of conversations, exchanges of ideas, but she does not have that. And she's introverted. She has a personality I'm not necessarily attracted to. I'm a little more extroverted.
How'd you guys get married?
Yeah.
What was the deal there?
We got married. I met her on the internet, and we talked for years, a couple years, a lot of Skyping, and then I did meet her physically in person for a couple weeks, and then she came over here on one of those visas, and we had 90 days to decide, and I really did like what she had to offer. She was a believer, very solid family background, didn't have the baggage that we have in America, and I was attracted to her stability. But even on the wedding night, I was starting to sense sort of an intellectual disconnect, and I had a lot of panic. I expressed it to the pastor. He just thought it was a red flag that one had married us anyway, and I wasn't even able to be intimate for the first maybe 3 days or a week after we got married, because I feel I was being hypocritical, that I didn't really love her. And so my question is, as one who desires meaningful thoughts, how do I love a unidimensional spouse that results in physical attraction when I'm not even sure I love her to begin with?
Hey, unfortunately, Darren, that's a judgment on another person, and I need you to address that. She is not a unidimensional person. She may have some limitations. She may have some fears, but don't say that about your wife.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
She's not. She may be in conflict. Right. She may be split off. She may be compliant. She may be have fears of being real. Right. But don't go into that. Was a really, we just don't want to say that about a person. God never made anybody.
Well,
that way.
It, maybe that was not the right word to say, but the problem I still feel exists under the surface. I don't know.
That I get.
It's just, this is bothering me.
That so. I get. No, we got some ideas for you.
Now, first thing I would say is you have a problem that you have to engage in making better rather than judging, criticizing, and kind of feeling sorry for yourself about it. Otherwise, you're done. If you don't have good conversation with her, then you need to do some stuff that you don't like to do. What does she like to do? You know, would she want to go and learn how to paint? Would she want to learn how to dance? Would she want to learn how to create pottery and stuff? Whatever that is, go get in her world, and now you're going to have some stuff to talk about that she's interested in, rather than expecting her to all of a sudden end up advancing 10 years of intellect with material you've read in a great country with great education. Go get in her world. Plan. Do stuff. Learn it. Also, and I'm going to send you this book, Mediterranean Love Plan. When two people do things neither of them have done, when they're both vulnerable in that area, it draws you together. So do some stuff that neither you nor her have ever done before. The extreme example of this, go jump out of an airplane together. If neither of you, if neither of you have done that and you go through that together, you're both going to be scared to death and it's going to draw you together. So I say get out of yourself, get into her world. She will open up, she will blossom, and you might be shocked within a couple of years at how much of your world she now understands and wants to go further into, because you've really gotten into what's in her heart, gone over there, done that, rather than kind of
get her around some Jill Hubbards. And I'm serious about that. Compliant woman who's afraid and only puts out, you know, functional stuff like what time is it and stuff. A lot of times they just had a mother that didn't encourage them. Get some Jill Hubbards around your life who have great, you know, emotional EQ and can love her and draw that stuff out.
Yeah. Well, and you guys started in such a way. You know, sometimes the online at a distance, only 90 days, is kind of like you're shopping and now you have buyer's remorse. And it's all about, this product isn't satisfying. And so that's kind of going off of what John said at the beginning. Instead of this is an object that now I'm no longer interested in, Steve is giving you the remedy of you've got to kind of start over with her. Because if you really want a deep relationship, you are going to have to invest and do what you should have done before.
There's a great passage, Proverbs 20, verse 5, that says, a person's heart are deep waters, and a person of understanding draws them out. Some cool women can draw out that part of your wife that you can fall in love with.
We'll be back after this.
The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., September 8th through the 10th.
This weekend has been a chance to honestly share my feelings and to begin ownership of them, whether they're positive or negative. I learned how to stand up for myself. I experienced positive feelings that I hadn't experienced before.
Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
This weekend has been just the beginning of taking my life back. I leave with a renewed power to trust in God on a daily basis, a commitment to move forward in my recovery by continually taking my life back.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
If you really want to take your life back, then I would highly recommend it.
Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. they need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. We're back. Just another thought here for Darren. You know, the scripture is Ephesians 5:21, and it says, submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Christ. And there's really no unless to that scripture. Submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Christ, unless, you know, the person isn't this or that. And sometimes submitting ourselves to each other means that we do the tough thing, we do the hard thing. And it's amazing when we have that humble willingness to submit, things start to change. I'll send him Mediterranean Love Plant. It's got some great, great stuff that's going to help him. And then now we're going to go to our final caller here. And here we go. Let's talk to, how about Mary, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Hi, Mary. How you doing? Welcome to New Life.
Well, hello.
Hi. How's it going?
I'm all right. I have a question. I have been married 33 years, and yes. My husband had an affair for 13 years, and she just died about 3 months ago, and he is going through extreme grief and depression because of her death, and also his love for her is so great.
Well, how does that make you feel? What are you going through with him going through that? Isn't that just horrible?
It is, yes.
Oh, I bet. So what's the question for us? How could we help?
I want to know what I could do for myself and also maybe for our marriage. I'm just at a loss now because he's in such grief over what he feels is his soulmate and the love of his life.
Oh, goodness. Mm. How long ago did her death end the affair, or did the affair end prior to her death? Or a lot prior?
No, I think he always had hopes that he would end up marrying her, and then she died, and so now all that is
wait
gone.
A minute. Now, when did the affair end, though? Did the affair end when she died, or did the affair end, like, way before she died?
No, I think in his mind and his heart, the affair went on. I mean, he said he hadn't seen her for months and was just texting her.
Let me ask in a different way. I'm not talking about his mind or anything like. When did the physical affair of people having sex with somebody they're not supposed to, when did that behavior end?
I have no idea. He really didn't tell me. I don't know if it was.
Did you know during the last 13 years that he was having an affair?
Yes,
but you never found out if it was over or not?
No, I never found out because I feel it was ongoing.
You lived that way, and your best information is that it was ongoing even to the time that the only thing that stopped it was her death.
Yes,
I am so sorry. Yeah. That must have been horrible for you.
It is.
Okay, so here's what I would be saying to him. I've never felt worse about our marriage. I've never felt worse about the reality of our lives. And you need to go get help, buddy, and get over this. Because we've got a life together.
He's being a counselor. He's going to a grief counselor.
Good.
He's doing EMDR, and he's on quite a bit of different medication for his depression over this.
Okay. What are you doing? Are you getting any help? You need the support and the understanding and all of that.
I am not. I have not seen anyone. I really haven't told anyone.
Well, and
I'm getting no help right now.
Okay, well, then that's kind of the obvious, Mary, is that I think you need some help in going through this because somehow you've just been living with this, and I'm a little puzzled by that, for 13 years. And no one knows?
No, they do know. I do have friends and some family that do know, but not of her death. I really haven't told anyone about that yet.
Okay. But the ongoing. So you've had friends that you've shared this with.
Yes.
Okay.
How did you do this where you let this thing happen? How did you do it? How'd you go 13 years like that?
Without separating, without getting the counselor, yeah. without getting an attorney to do a separation. How did you choose that path?
I always had hope, and I really thought this marriage could work out. And we did do some counseling, but I found out it really was just about him and his girlfriend. So what I thought we were doing for us really wasn't in the end. So I thought things were better. I really thought maybe the affair was over, and then I found out later that they weren't. So I had times and periods where I thought, oh, yes, this marriage is going to work. Things are better now. And then when that did happen, I found out it wasn't so.
Well, I don't have a lot of time. Is there a specific question that you have for us that we could help you with?
What could I do? You have advice for me right now.
All right. Let me tell you my first thought that might be helpful is like Jill said, you got to get something for yourself. Mm-hmm. This, not just for her death, but the last 13 years has taken some kind of emotional toll, and you've got to get some help. And I don't mean friends. I mean somebody with a license.
In addition to friends.
But the other thing is, I think I would tell him, I understand that you're sad and that she meant a lot more than I thought. And I do want you to stay in your path. I'm glad you're getting help. But I'm not part of that. And I don't want to have dinner and talk about how much you miss her. And if you need to cry and be held about how you miss her, you go to other people, not hopefully other women that will, bad stuff. But I need to sort of quarantine myself from your process there. I love you. We've got a lot of other things we can do. We could go. We've got sports and we've got friends and we've got kids and we've got church. But I'm quarantining myself from that. And I do wish you the best. It's just too hurtful and toxic for me. And that's kind of the solution.
And you know that scripture, thinking themselves wise, they became as fools. And here's a guy who thinks, oh, here, I can do this, and this will all work out and all that. What foolishness and what heartache and pain.
Preserve yourself from the fantasy.
Yeah. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, and I'm going to send you two copies. You give him one and tell him you want a book report in a week because it's time for him to help.
Yeah.
I mean, he needs to get over this thing.
That's
he
legit.
Needs to get out of this horrible, horrible place he's putting you through. On August the 11th, Every Man's Battle, he should go to that. On November the 10th, Restore, you could go to that. Take Your Life Back, September the 8th, and Intimacy in Marriage, September the 22nd. All of these things we do to help people transform their lives. We want to see change. We love it. We've been doing this for, it'll be 30 years next year. 30-year anniversary next year.
We started when we were 9 years old.
Oh, gosh.
That's right. Amazing.
Wow.
And you know what? We love doing it still today. But you got to let us. So you have to pick up the phone and you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You go to the website, newlife.com. Let us help you. Let us put you on a different path. Now, a support for this program results in a thank you, and we will say thank you, by sending you a wonderful copy of Take Your Life Back. We want you to have it. We'll get it to you. And it's just our way of saying thank you for everything that you do for us that helps us transform life. John, as we close out the program, thank you for being here. We love having you. How about closing with a scripture you think might help somebody who's just struggling to get through the day or needs a little encouragement here? Let's close that way.
You know, when I think about the calls we had today, Steve, I thought about Jeremiah 29, where God says, I have made plans for you. Mm. Don't ever forget that you're not kind of trying to make up a life and come up with a life plan. God has a life plan, and he has people who have those. And there's hundreds of thousands of people that have had a very similar situation as yours, and the path is there. So go to him. Go to great books, like some of the ones Steve's talking about. Jill's books are great. Go to people who know what they're talking about. The path's there. So you don't have to reinvent the life. You just need to go down the path that God's already provided for us.
Absolutely. All right. If you're struggling, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you know somebody that's struggling, you call and we'll try to help you intervene there with them. My thanks to Dr. Jill Hubbard, author of Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, Dr. John Townsend with the Townsend Leadership Institute, the John Townsend Leadership Program.
Thanks.
See you next time.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.